Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 56, part 1 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as a rotating panel of guests and myself, Ian Levinson, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. It's the largest panel we've had since episode 50, as the comic book page combines with Just Bill's comic drawer box and a tiki, along with Brent and myself, to discuss online ordering, and a little bit of the local comic shop thrown in there as well. Plenty of good times, plenty of long times. Get ready for a massive two-parter here. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 56 of Comic Timing. And it's been a while since we've actually had a serious conversation on the show. I know what you mean when you say, oh, well, what do you mean? It's a serious show. I'm like, no, it's not. Who are you kidding? But let's actually have a somewhat serious discussion here as we have a large panel for the first time in a while, too. But that's because our co-host, not co-host, co-host Brent Cassina is back at his shiny dorm room with the T1. So what's up, Brent?
What's up?
Not much. What's going on?
Aerodynamics and this crap.
Ah, gotcha. Well, we're joined on this call by John and Bob of the Comic Book Page podcast. What's up, guys?
Hello, hello.
Hey.
And we're also joined for the first time in a serious manner since he started his podcast for real. It is Just Bill from the Just Bill's Comic Book Drawer Box podcast. What's up, Bill?
First of all, I just want to say I didn't promise anyone I'd be serious for this call.
Thank God.
Said anything about – I wasn't prepared for that.
Uh-oh. Okay, well, fine. The first time where you're not throwing a ruse on everybody. How about that?
All right. And, you know, I just want to make a point of apologizing to Brent because I know he had a lot of hard feelings about that when he was locked out of my forum for so long.
I'm the only one who didn't get the joke.
No, I don't think you were the only one.
Well, I was the main complainer.
Yeah, you were the main guy. You were the one that wanted to have me, like, shot and buried somewhere in an undisclosed location.
Oh, no, I never said things like that. I may have thought them, though.
Well let's make up. Everybody make up and be friends right now, okay?
We're good. I'm good.
Yay.
All right, works for me.
And we're also joined by a guy who's a little bit freaky and a little bit tiki. It is Tim the Tiki. What's up, Tim?
Hey, I thought I dialed a phone sex line. I had no idea that this was going to be about comics.
Are you actually like floating above somebody else on the panel's head like in Crash Bandicoot?
Actually, as I've said before, I'm a piece of driftwood that's carved into a wonderful tiki god sitting by a keyboard on a beach. And of course, with a cocktail.
But of course, because it just wouldn't be right otherwise. Well, welcome to the show for the first time, Tim.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, on this episode, we're going to be talking about online ordering as it's come up in multiple places over the past couple of weeks. And I figure now's as good a time as any to get into it. So here is the forum discussion I actually posted on the forums. Everything can be done online these days. You can check the weather all over the world, read about your favorite celebrity and what their latest mistake is now. And heck, you can even buy comics. Why do you shop online? What are the advantages and disadvantages to ordering comics online? If you do order online, do you miss the in-store feel you get with an LCS? If you remain with your LCS, what keeps you coming back for more? Do you continue to stop into your LCS even though you order online? Is the loyalty to an online retailer the same to you as loyalty to an LCS? How many titles do you get a month online versus in the store? Do you save money online, or do you simply order more comics and spend the same amount you would on less comics at the LCS? And finally, do you believe there will come a point where online ordering overtakes the LCS, or do you see the two coexisting for a long time to come? Let us know how you shop, and we'll discuss it on the show. Let's actually first start off with Tim, because, well, he is one of the few stalwarts who still goes to the LCS on a regular basis and just goes to the LCS. So my first question to you, Tim, is what keeps you going to your LCS?
Okay, here we go. I believe an LCS is what you make of it, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. If some people just want to run in, look at the new books, grab it and run out without looking at anything else, pay, that's cool. Some people like to stop, shoot the breeze, and make it a big community affair. That's great too. But the LCS to me is whenever you walk into it, it's like Christmas Day once a week. I know some people say whenever they get their things online, it's like once a week. But you know what? This is like a big party. Mm-hmm. You walk in, total stranger. You're talking, hey, did you read this? Yeah, that was crap. You know, but it's all about community.
Right.
It's all about talking with one another. It's all about socializing with total strangers. And I believe there is a huge – that's a huge factor that's missing. And here's where I sound like an old man, even though I'm not that old. That's starting to go away in society nowadays, of just the interaction face-to-face, kind of when a total stranger that you don't even know. It's not even the person behind the counter saying, I know what you buy and you should buy this. But it's also when the total stranger, you're going, hey, have you read this last week? No, why? Because, I see you're reading that. You can sell a total stranger and you have nothing more than just your love for the medium. It's all about community to me. It's all about community.
Right.
And you can't put a price on that.
I'll agree and disagree with you on that, Tim. I think that that's an admirable thing if you have a comic shop that does those things that you just said. Most of the comic shops that are within a 20-mile radius of my house, I live in Orange County, California. This is Bob. I don't see that. I walk in even on a Wednesday a lot of times, and a lot of times I can't get in on a Wednesday. So maybe all this is happening on Wednesday, but I'll go in on a Saturday a lot of times, for instance. There's nobody standing around talking. There's nobody – you know, the person working the register – is kind of a clerk. They don't really read comics, or, you know, they're not very socially aware. They're not making those kind of recommendations. I'm just not seeing that kind of community. Now, if there was a shop like that, like when I was out at CGS 300 and I went into Golden Eagle, that was a great comic shop. I mean, if I lived near Golden Eagle, I might very well have that preference, because that environment would be one that's desirable. I'm just saying, me personally, I have not seen that in the majority of comic shops that I walk into. And just as a caveat, I travel a lot for my job, and I have probably set foot in 50 different comic stores in the last year. And I would say that shops that meet the description you just gave, Tim, they exist. And out of that 50 comic shops, maybe, and I'm being generous, maybe 10 were like that.
Now, keep in mind, you're, the one thing that a lot of people forget is the very first line that I said, the comic shop is what you make of it.
Well, that's actually the part I disagree with the most.
See, now,
I mean, I certainly think that some of what the customer brings to it is certainly important, and I don't disagree with that. But it's equally what the people working at the store make of it.
Right.
And,
yes,
you know, if we'd had this conversation 5 years ago, I'd have been right there with you, Tim, saying, you know, the local store is the way to go. Support them. You can go get the stuff immediately. It's great, et cetera. But, you know, I was also dealing, even at that time, with a store where one of the guys who'd ring me up would spend the entire time mocking everything I got.
I agree with you, and that's wrong. And there's, I mean, that's something about if the owner sees that. I mean, then we get into the whole dynamics of, you know, yes, it is a business, and no, you should never be mocked for any. Like, I'm a waiter by trade. If someone orders something that I feel A is not one of the better dishes of the restaurant, I don't say, you don't really want that, do you? You know, it all comes down to salesmanship unto itself. There's sometimes when you sell and you push things, and there's sometimes you just don't say anything because really it's none of your business and it's not your money. It's not about, and the one thing that I believe, if, you know, when I open up my shop, that's a little caveat. The reason why I'm also a big fan is because I am in the midst of planning opening a shop. Mm-hmm. With any business, it doesn't matter if you're dealing with the public on a regular basis. It's a matter of – it's not about me, the owner. It's not about me, the server, if I'm in a waiter. It's about the customer, and not just always about discounts, but even their tastes and even their, you know, how they want their personal comic shop experience to be. I believe a good salesman, no matter what field you're in, is being able to read people. Now, mind you, we all know that a lot of comic shops that are open by fans first. The old cliche when it comes to opening a shop back in the, say, pre-90s was you just wanted to be able to open up a shop to be able to read all the comics you want and just have enough to pay the bills and get a Big Mac. That was a famous quote by, I wasn't sure if it was either Brian Hibbs or Joe Field. you know, just enough to basically make the money to pay the bills and have enough to buy a single Big Mac, and then you're good. You're living the dream. In the 90s, a lot of shops are open because of speculation. Oh, my God, look how much money I'm going to make. And we saw what happened there. I truly believe that a good percentage of the shops that have survived that and that are opening now have learned from those mistakes. Now, we all know, everyone's been to conventions. As a group, even though whenever I walk through a convention, I feel I'm with my people. I really feel that vibe and that energy. But as a total, it's not necessarily the most social crowd. So because of that, you can't expect it to always be a giant social experience unless it's what you make of it. If you walk up to the people behind the counter and start to strike up a conversation, not necessarily about comics, but just in general. When I first started talking to the people at my LCS, I was talking to this one girl because she has a giant mohawk. And I just said to her, I said, how do you get that to work every day? How much work is that? And from there, because you're talking about them, they start to then ask about you. And from there, just that to me, that's just normal social skills in general. From that point forward, when I went into the shop yesterday, because we're recording on Thursday, I was in there for an hour and a half. And it was me and three people working behind the counter. And then we just started pulling in everyone that was in the shop. And by the time we were done, there was like 15 of us talking about everything from One More Day to the New York Comic Con that's coming up, mm-hmm. the things that are going on in Boston, to apparently there's a big zombie parade that's coming up, and all these things. And personally, that's awesome. That's the community. That's the, you know, the village of geekdom, you know, at its finest.
Right. And
right. But I agree with that. But I don't think that, and at least I don't have the stamina to, you know, your statement, it's what you make of it. I'm not going to run around to every shop and personally try to foment that kind of atmosphere in it. It's not my job. Okay.
Even the shops I regularly shopped at, I hardly spent more than, say, an hour a week at the shop. I mean, yeah, I like hanging out and talking comics with people, but to me, the purpose of going to a comic shop is mainly to buy the comics.
Right. And I think I have a little bit of every single person that has already spoken about their comic shop experience. I have a little bit of every single experience, but that's because I'm in an interesting situation. Because of where I live, I get the opportunity to go to maybe three or four different comic shops on a regular basis. When I go to Jim Hanley's, I expect conversation. Because usually, because of the people that are behind the counter, there's usually at least one giant conversation going on for about 15 to 20 minutes while I'm inside of there about the latest comics or about something that happened in the shop, some amusing anecdote that's being told, and that's the way it goes. When I go to Midtown Comics on a regular basis every single week to pick up my stuff I buy still in the shop, there's one guy behind a counter who knows my name and knows everybody's name to my heart. I love that guy because every time I walk in, I still get a, hey, Ian, even though I don't really talk to that many people there, there's at least one person there that knows my name. And that's a wonderful experience to have. When I go to Bulletproof Comics in Brooklyn, which is near my college, I get the experience of people that have known me for 4 years that will still strike up conversation with me and get that going. But I'm not there all the time. Usually Midtown Comics is my regular comic shop, and when I'm there, I get the experience of I buy my comics, I get online, I leave, and I go on the train. That's the way my life is with that. So I got a little bit of everything thrown in there.
See, and the other part of the whole social aspect, and as I've posted, you know, on the CGS forums, if it wasn't for my local shop, perfect example, last week I went in, I was just buying my comics and talking just for a little bit, not like the hour and a half conversation of yesterday. I ended up discovering through them that Charles Burns was doing a signing and a Q&A that was on the other side of town. It was basically at a bookstore, a traditional, once again, another mom and pop shop. So it's one of those things that I would have never, ever have even known he was in if it wasn't for going to the LCS. You're not going to get that from an online service. Mm-hmm. I would have missed it completely. I'm sure it was posted online a billion places, but if I'm not going in those circles, there's no way I'm going to know it. In turn, I got to hear one of the great indie creators speak and got to talk to him and spent like 5 minutes of my own talking about this and that, and it was great.
And how much is that worth to you, Tim? Is that worth
that's worth the world. Because
is that worth $3,000 a year to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
knock
once again, how many
out.
Times? How many times? How well, let me ask you this: how many times have we heard the conversation, the statement, "If you ever get a chance to meet someone before they die, and so on and so forth, you know, basically go ahead and talk to them. Hey, you know what? I don't care about anyone in Hollywood. I don't care about anyone in TV. These are my celebrities. These are the people that get me excited, and I like to shake their hand and say, you know what? You really created something special that really meant something to me." And that's just one of the aspects of the community.
And that's cool, but you can do that without having to spend money at a local shop. That's what conventions are for.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to respond. Go ahead. Go ahead, Bill, because you've been quiet so far. So go ahead.
I'd like to respond to everything that Kiki said, and I'd like to just start out with, Jane, you ignorant slut. First of all, socializing.
Comes out swinging.
Socializing. What the hell are the forums for? What are conventions for? Everything.
Oh, come on, that's not the same.
It's totally the same.
No, it's not. How many times have you typed something and it was taken out of context, and then you ended up apologizing and saying, "Okay, maybe you didn't get my brand of humor." You don't have that as much whenever you're face to face.
Hey, Jane, can I have a moment now? Jane.
I can't promise I won't interrupt.
Stop this crazy thing, Jane.
I'm saying, you know, everything that you're talking about exists in the online world too. Just because you want to socialize or you want to meet people, all that's happening on forums or happening on podcasts. They're happening right now. We're having the first conversation that we've ever had. So, you know, I don't buy that you have to necessarily go to a local comic shop to get all that. And then the other thing is, by promoting the local comic shop to be the last bastion of all this, you're kind of saying what?
Wait. Did I ever say it was the last bastion?
You didn't say that, but you're kind of implying that, you know, this is why you need to support the local comic shop as opposed to an online store.
I'll definitely agree with Bill on that. I got that, the implication. Whether you meant that or not, Tim, that's the way you come across.
And here's another thing. Here's another thing that you may not be saying, but I'm getting from what you're saying, is you're making it out like the local comic shop is somehow a better way to buy your comics than online, as if the online people aren't just people struggling to get by too. I understand it's harder for a brick and mortar store, but that doesn't make the guy who's opened up a mail order shop any less a fan who just wanted to support his hobby as well.
I'm talking about the community aspect of the store. I think that's what I was implying, and I think that's what I got across. I think if you're picking up anything else, maybe that's, you know, something within yourself.
But you're using the community aspect of a physical store as if that's a competitive advantage. And I think what Bill is trying to say is you can still have that sense of community online, and there's no reason an online store can't foster that.
I will agree with you there, because I just recently started DCBS in November, and that's only because my local comic shop, the guy who was running it, Bill, and I got to give a shout out to him. Maybe I'll email him this episode and stuff, because he was great, knew my name, walked in every week and all that, and then he decided he needed to take another job because the bookstore chain that this comic shop was kind of part of wasn't letting him run it the same way or take less hours or something like that. So when he left, I stuck around for a few weeks till my DCBS started up, and the new owner or the new manager, he was okay, he was cool, but it just wasn't the same. But I still don't feel like I'm missing out on everything from week to week. I mean, you know, Bill and I would have a conversation for 15 minutes, but because it was a smaller shop, we wouldn't have 15 people in there. But I still get the same feeling, because I get on Skype every night and I'll chat Ian or whatever, or I'll talk to Bob if he needs something. You know, and I can still get that on the forums and read people's reactions. So I will say that there is a sense of community, though, you know, the real-time social aspect and, everybody being friends with each other and knowing faces and stuff, you do get that in the comic shop more. I will agree with that with Tiki there. But, you know, there's two sides to every story. Right. So you can get both. It just depends on what you want. If you want the person-to-person interaction, then I think the comic shop is for you. And if you don't mind spending that extra 30% that – the online retailers gives. But on the other hand, if you do podcasts and you're on forums and you don't mind not, you know, knowing everybody's faces and shaking their hands and being able to slap them if they say something really offensive or something like that, then, you know, maybe online ordering and saving 40% is for you. I did online ordering because my shop guy left and I just couldn't afford to spend what I was spending at the same time. being a college student. So I think it just depends on your personality and your budget. And I mean, sometimes if your budget overrides your personality overrides your budget, then, you know, God be with you and hope you enjoy your comic experience. At least you're buying comics.
Yeah, I think in the end we all want the same thing.
Right. Right.
You know, and that is to be held.
Are we going to have a group hug on this call? Because I think that would be awkward.
But I honestly, once again, going back to my initial statement, I think a comic shop is what you make of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Going with what
you're opening your own, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Even more so, yes.
I agree with that. And one thing I do want to mention, Tiki, is because it's been said a couple of times by Bill and by Brent. You know, when you go into a store and they know your name and call you by name, that is worth a lot.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've said it before. One of my favorite things about the store is so simple. It's exactly what you guys said. It's called – I'm going to plug them. I don't know why I haven't so far. It's Comicopia in Boston. Mm-hmm. I think anyone on the forums that have been there always say that it's a great store. It's a small place too. It's not very large.
Yeah.
But when I walk in the door, they yell my last name as if I'm Norm from Cheers. And I say it, and it sounds like I'm exaggerating, but I even told my wife, and when she came with me once, she was like, oh, Jesus, what was that? I'm like, every one of them behind the counter yelled out, and that's why I keep coming back. Because I know they create that community, that family affair.
See, and
but that's not what you make of that store. You might add to that store, but that store owner is setting a certain environment. And I'm telling you, Tim, I respect that you want to have a shop like that. What I am telling you from my empirical observation of a lot more comic stores than you've probably been in, that is an anomaly. And 80% of the comic shops I have been in are not like that.
And
don't get me wrong. I've been in bad stores. I have been. I'm not defending all.
But we're not even talking about bad stores. We're talking about
wait a minute.
Common
then,
stores.
Then you didn't do enough to make it a good store.
I don't accept, Tim, that it's my fault. That a shop sucks, okay? It's not what Tim, I make of it.
And you know what? Yeah, no. See, I do agree with Bob's statement that it does depend on the owner because as everybody's been talking about here and bringing up their past, you know, comic book experiences, I'm having like almost flashbacks to the other stores I've been to. And most specifically, the first comic shop I ever went in, it's no longer there. It used to literally be right around the corner from my apartment. It was AAA Comics, then it was Acme Comics and Cards. And the guys behind the counter, they always knew my name. They knew I was this kid who had started coming in there, and you know, they saw me grow up. For about 5 years, they saw me grow up. And when they were closing, he took me over to the side, and he flat out told me, I'm telling my regular customers this first, but within the next couple of weeks, we're going to have to close because we're not making enough money to keep this rent, and there's nothing we can do about that. He told me where he was going to be after this, but that would have been a 15, 20, 30-minute bus ride for me to actually get there. So I obviously couldn't go to where he was going to be working next. So I went to a different shop. I went to Bullpen, which was on my bus route home from school, so it was easy for me. And Joe, who worked there, wonderful guy, awesome guy, still works there today. But when I went to college, it didn't make sense for me to go all the way over there anymore, so I went to Bulletproof. Now I'm working in Manhattan, so I go to Midtown. And this is the way that I've been buying comics for years. My location is as important to me as the friendly faces behind it, but the friendly faces behind it certainly keep me coming back for more because there's a closer comic shop to where I work than Midtown Comics. But I don't go back in there on a regular basis. In fact, if you look at Bob's comic book ratings thread, I even talked about this, that I went in there once and I felt like I was like deer in headlights. Like literally, they took my money. They barely said a word to me and they were lost in their own thing. And I just felt like alienated. But I never really feel that at Midtown, so I keep going there. But it's as important that the owner knows what he's doing and creates an atmosphere in the shop. Location plus friendliness can go a hell of a lot of a long way.
To me, that's common business 101.
Right.
Like always, location, location, location. And then that always goes into what can you do to build up more and more people keep coming back. But, you know, the one thing as well that is unfair is no two LCSs are alike, period. I don't care. There's what, 2,500, John? Help me out here.
Like thereabouts. And I agree with you completely. Each one is totally unique because of the personality of the store owner, the people working at the store, and the customers of the store. But there are common trends across a lot of these stores, and you can almost categorize them in various ways. You know, some in terms of just what they carry, some in terms of you know, do they stock comics, do they sell comics? And more stock comics than actually sell comics. And, I mean, I've been a regular shopper at, you know, stores where, you know, one of the employees, my God, I went there, you know, every week, and it seemed like at least once a month, if not once a week, it's like, hey, if you check this out, I think you'll like it. And damned if he didn't have at least a 90% hit rate, if not much, much higher. So, but, you know, one of the other things Ian was just talking about is how, you know, the owner of that store pulled him inside and said, hey, I want to give my regular customers a heads up. It's like, wow, what a simple thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
And quite frankly, if the local store I'd been shopping at here in town had done that for me when they got rid of the discounts, I might still be shopping there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? But, actually, now that I think about it, he even gave me other stores that were in the area and told me which ones I might be better off going to if I can't make it to the store that he's going to be working at next.
Yeah, well, that all comes down to customer service. That's, you know, absolutely.
But that's something that a lot of mom-and-pop shops, which most comic stores, certainly not all, but a lot are, they don't have the background in. You know, they're doing good to keep the doors open and keep the knowledge about the material, the customers, that kind of stuff. They don't have the proper training and, you know, skill set and resources to draw on to have the customer service skills that, you know, we as consumers come to expect by going to large chain stores where, you know, in other places where they actually train people in some of this stuff.
Well, this is quickly turning into online versus a local comic shop. And I thought what we were actually going to talk about is, you know, why are those of us who are ordering online, why we do it?
Right. And you know what? This is the evolution of the conversation, though. I wanted to get this part of it here before we got there. So I'm kind of glad that we did go here just to get, like, the why people still continue to go to the LCS. But we can start with you, actually, Bill, because I'm curious to see what brought you online in the first place with your ordering.
Well, yeah, first of all, just to start off the conversation, yeah, I don't really think it's one versus the other. I really don't. You know, it's just a preference. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the only point I was trying to make to Tiki, that the socializing aspects and all that other stuff, you know, you can have both. It's not like it's black and white. If you're online, you don't get to go to a shop ever again. Nobody does that. Everybody I know who shops online also goes to a local comic shop. They just do the majority of their business online. Now, to start getting things on the topic a little bit more, as far as mail order comics go, I have a kind of, I guess, probably a longer history than it sounds like most people on this call have with mail order. When I was like 10 or 11, I would have to hop on a bus to get to the metro to ride another bus to get to the closest comic shop to me. And if my parents actually knew I was doing that, I wouldn't get any comics. You know, so it was all, you know, secret mission stuff to do that. And that was a pain in the butt. So I was never one of these guys who was, you know, going to a comic store once a week. You know, if I made it once a month, that was something, and that was fine by me. So, you know, even going back to when I was a kid, the easiest way for me to get comics was to subscribe to them. So if I knew, you know, I was an Avengers fan, I subscribed to the Avengers, I subscribed to Iron Man, whatever the heck my titles were, I had a subscription. And at a certain point, I realized that really wasn't the best way to read comics either, because if a creative team changed or suddenly, you know, anything could happen in your book that you've paid for a year in advance is now a pile of crap. So I found myself once again looking for comic shops, and they started opening up in the town I lived in, and I started to switch to going to comic shops probably into my late teens. Even then, I never really was into comic shops for the social aspect of a comic store. And I get that that's the feeling I get from everybody else on the call that's a big part of the draw to a comic store. When I went in, I got what I wanted and I got the hell out of there. I always, you know, I was, for me, it's all about the comics, not the friends and all that. That's a side benefit. I enjoy the social aspects of it as far as it goes with forums and conventions and all that. But for the shop, I'm there to shop. I'm not there to make friends. So when I was in a local comic shop, I would always maintain a pull list. And what would inevitably happen to me is I'd get screwed out of something by whatever shop I was in, whether, you know, it was a shorted book, or I would wind up getting frustrated with my local shop for whatever reason and look for an alternative. And I think the first time I went mail order was in the late 80s with Mile High. They had a program, I think it was called the Nice Club or something along that. I don't remember what Nice stood for.
They still have that going.
Well, that was my first foray into, you know, mail order. And it was primarily to get some reliability in the service I was getting. It was to make sure that if I was reading a title, it was the equivalent of a subscription. I was actually going to get the book. And that was a real problem for all the local comic shops that I would go to at that point. And at some point, a comic shop finally opened that was a decent shop, or decent enough that they could get that done. And I drifted away from online and back into the store, mainly because I think Mile High had like a minimum order requirement to get the discount and all this. And it was a bit of a chore at that point for me to even order online. So I drifted back into a local comic shop, and I didn't have to deal with shipping charges and all that. So that was good. Only now the cost of comics are starting to become a concern. I think at this point, when I went into the second time, it was like $1.50, $1.75 an issue. And once again, I was really trying to ensure that if I wanted something, I was committed to ordering it ahead of time, I'd actually get the book. You know, that's an important part. It's like the Seinfeld thing. You know, you're good at taking the reservation, not so much keeping the reservation. If I order the book ahead of time on a pull list or whatever, I expect to get it. And I didn't run into a lot of shops that could actually pull that off. So my second foray was with Westfield Comics. I used them for a couple of years, and once again, for whatever reason, drifted back into a local comic shop. The next thing we did was start an online mail order service of our own. A friend of mine and I, through comic book bulletin board services, did that, and that worked great up until the distribution wars when Marvel went and bought their own distributor, and suddenly we had two minimums to meet. That killed that, and then I was back in the local shops again up until what was the book that drove me over the edge when I finally went into the shop and they didn't have – I want to say it was like when the graduation day thing for Young Justice, the end of the Young Justice run. I went to get something and they didn't have it, and it just ticked me off. And that's when I started researching online joints again, came across DCBS, and I've been with them for I think about 5 years now, and they've been great. And they offer me the customer service that I'm looking for. When I order something, I'm sure I'm going to get it. The one or two times there's been a problem, they fix it immediately. They don't even wait until my next order. It's, you know, they ship it that very day that they find out there's an issue. They've been nothing but outstanding from the first order that I ever placed with them. And that's pretty much my history of mail order, as it is for Bill.
The one thing I want to add in there, I realize I'm going to be making an excuse for LCSs, but I know John will support me on this one. Most, not all, but most, I'm talking a high 90s percentage of comic shops, when they get their books, they get them that morning on Wednesday. And the reason why I point that out is, say they get them at 9 a.m., their store opens up at 11. They've got to fill in their 100, 200, however big your store is, of your pull lists. And in that short period of time, mistakes are made.
Now, I've got two counterpoints real quick.
Wait, let me finish it. Now, with that, you literally are squashed on time. So at 11 o'clock, you have basically doors are open, people are walking in, you want to try to make sure you get them all set. Now, with that being said, if you order as a store large amounts, such as if you have a chain or if you're an online one, and I'm putting them both together, LCSs and online, because you're ordering such mass from Diamond, they will ship to you a day earlier, which allows you time to kind of breathe, get it all done, you know, and with a little bit more breathing time. So with that being said, of all the LCSs I've been to, I've had a couple screw-ups. But there is only one shop, and I will never forget this, that every time I came, every single week I walked up, it was almost as if it was, I assume it was part of their manual of what to say. I'd walk up there, hey, blah, 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 did we miss anything? They would ask every single week, and I will never forget that, and it's a great thing. Because even though they rarely did, every now and then I go, yeah, you missed this. They go, oh, the first thing they do, they check the records to make sure they had it down on their computer base. Then after that, they'd say, oh, we're really sorry, blah, blah, blah. But, you know,
I want to move to Boston. Holy cow.
Yeah, I'm ready.
You guys must have the greatest freaking comic shops on the whole goddamn planet.
Seriously, I'm sorry. Even in New York, I've never gotten that sort of customer service ever.
Please let me get my counterpoint in. You ready for my counterpoint?
Are you ready?
Everybody ready? Here it is.
Yeah.
I don't give a crap. That's point one. I don't give a crap.
I'm not sure I understood that. Could you explain that one to me?
I agree with Bill that it's not my problem how little amount of time they have. Because frankly, Tim, I wouldn't go a month without having a mistake on my order. And I was never – I mean, the last 15 years, 20 years since I've had a job, I don't hove into view at the comic shop at 12 o'clock on Wednesday because I have a job, okay? I would usually blow into the comic shop on Saturday, and there were still pick errors. So there's no excuse for them the 3 days to go by, and they still screw up my pick.
And well, I would go in on that noon at Wednesday when maybe they'd gotten the books that morning, maybe they'd gotten the night before. I think they got them that morning or whatever. They would ask, did we miss anything? And I swear at least half the time, and this was over 4 years ago, so my memory may be a little off, but it seemed like half the time there would be at least one error. And sometimes, even right as they had opened at noon on that Wednesday, there would be none on the rack for me to go grab. So, okay, we'll reorder some whatever. Hell, I had a couple of times they handed me my stack of comics. I could tell by the size of it versus how many comics I was expecting to get that day that they either hadn't pulled all of it, you know, out of the file in the back, or they hadn't put it all in the file in the back to begin with. And part of this is a time issue. Part of it is a process issue.
I agree with that. But, you know, it is both.
But again.
And once again, that comes down to two are equal.
But that's something that's different between an LCS and an online store.
Yeah. Another point is I went to local comic shops for over 25 years. Okay. And that same pattern, and I loved the shops that I went to. Don't get me wrong. I mean, and once I went to a shop, and I'm not going to say every shop is bad because I've had a series of really good shops. I mean, I can give I won't give as long a story as Bill gave, but, you know, I started out and I've always had pull lists. I've always had discounts. Every time I've committed and pre-ordered a book, I have picked up that book. And I've paid for it, and I've come in on a regular basis, and I've always paid my bills, okay? So, you know, all that's the case. I went to the first shop until, you know, I moved like 50 miles away, and it's like, you know, no matter how good a shop is, I'm not going to drive 50 miles each way, you know, 100-mile round trip every week. And then the next shop I went to that shop until they went out of business, you know, and that seems to be a common theme. You know, it's like you stay with a shop till they go out of business. I found another shop and I went with them for 5 or 6 years until they went out of business. And it's, you know, maybe I just drive shops out of business or something. But I mean, that's been a common theme. But somewhere along the line, it's just got to the point where as much as I love them, especially on indie books, 2 or 3 times a month there would be a pick error. And when I'd come in on Saturday, you know, so again, they don't have, you know, I don't buy the excuse of, oh, all this stuff's happening, right? There's a pick error. I'm missing books. And, you know, oh, we'll reorder it for you. And Diamond, this is not the shop's fault. Diamond sucks on doing reorders of indie books. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they'll just say that they don't have them in stock when they do. You know, I've talked to indie creators. Diamond just doesn't want to deal with shipping one copy of some indie book. And then I'm stuck. Yeah. I'm stuck and I don't get that book. And it's because of the pick errors on that. And that's when I initially went to online comic shopping.
I just want to make a note that I've never said anything bad about online shops thus far.
Oh yeah,
no, I'm not saying you are, but you have.
Wait a minute, I
come down as though
taking. I heard you say bad things about Cameron's mother. Admit it.
Oh, come on, don't say that.
You did it. I heard it. It's been recorded. That's said even... nasty, uncalled for things.
No. wait till I'm at least.
Well, at least Ian's going to edit those out, Bill. I mean, come on.
All right. Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. Yeah, guess what? This episode, I think, is going to be damn close to unedited so far because there has been nothing worth editing out. Holy crap.
Well, then
back to my point. And the reason I switched to online.
Back up. Now, okay. Allow me my counterpoint.
Okay.
What you do for a living, would both Bill and Bob, what you do for a living, have you ever had something that needed to be done and you only had an hour to do it?
It's the entire nature of the job I've got.
Okay, no,
I work in IT.
You.
Everything that I do is supposed to be done 2 weeks before.
Are they always perfect?
There's perfect and there's a level of egregious
error. I go back to Bill's thing. I don't care, Tim.
Well, and then you know
I
what?
Don't care.
But it's still, it's one of those things. And the people that are paying you,
because
they start coming down on you.
Look, you know what?
You're comparing apples to oranges, Tim. Let me finish this point here, okay? If I came into the comic shop at noon on Wednesday and expected it to be perfect, okay, then your point has validity. Okay, I come into the shop on Saturday. It is not an issue of them having an hour to go through my list, okay?
I want to disagree with that, Bob, because they kind of need to get all the pulls done before they put stuff on the rack.
Oh, I understand that, but all they need to have is a system where they know how many of each issue are for pull list people's and pull those off the top. Mm-hmm. Okay,
fair enough.
It's just a matter of basic competence.
Okay, but no.
Once again, though, this should be about.
Let's backtrack. You got.
But let's. We're talking about online comics.
Okay.
Right. This should be about. This is not.
But at the same time, because we've been talking about this, let Tim have his point here. So go ahead, Tim.
Okay.
Okay. Besides just pull lists, there are other things they need to do in that short period of time. First thing you do is you count everything that's in the box, because I can damn well promise you that everyone will either short you or basically overship you on different titles, which in
and
turn
sure
they have to
guess never has that happened.
No. Let me finish now. But within that situation, then they've got to go through and basically take out ones that are overshipped to make sure they don't get billed for them. And that'll take some time to get all that out of the way.
That's standard business process for them. They should have that under control. Is it easy? Oh, hell no. Yeah. I've had to do this stuff.
Online, you have to do the exact same thing, too.
You have 2 hours to get all that done, plus make every single pull list impeccably perfect. Can it be done? Sure.
I disagree with you, Tim. You do not have only 2 hours to make every pull list impeccably perfect. What you have 2 hours to do is to pull aside the appropriate number of comics for your pull list customers. And for the vast majority of your pull list customers who do not come wandering into the shop at 12 noon on Wednesday, and I have to imagine that most people have a frickin' job that they don't show up at noon on Wednesday, you have more than that 2 hours to take those comics aside and fix the pull lists properly. Okay.
Yeah, but then again,
Bob, I want to ask you this.
So kids just coming in and out at any time.
Hey, Bob, I want to ask you this. Has anybody else ever experienced this with a pull list in a comic book shop? You go in to pick up your box. You immediately notice something you were looking for was missing, and you bring it to the person's attention. How do they resolve this problem for you if it's not on the rack? Do they take it out of some other subscriber's box to give it to you? I've had that happen to me.
Oh, I had that happen. I've had that happen to me.
You know what?
That's why I stopped dealing with one store.
I don't even have a pull list, and it has happened to me where I've walked into the shop where it's been a couple days, they haven't showed up for their stuff yet, and he'll say, "What are you looking for?" I say, "You know, well, let me just throw an example out there. I'm looking for an issue of Ex Machina." And I doubt that was actually what it was, but he would, you know, then go see if there are any around and hand them to me, even if they were in the box. Now, this has been a couple days. This has sometimes even been a week and a half or something like that, and sometimes people just haven't picked up their stuff, but it's still taking something out of somebody else's box. So it has happened to me on occasion without even having a pull list.
And as I said, I would go to the shop to pick up my books maybe once every couple of weeks, maybe once a month. I still expect my books to be there when I get there.
Right.
I had a time I was traveling on business. I was gone for 3 weeks. I'd given them an itemized list of what I expected. This was when Zero Hour was coming out. I come back in like two out of the three issues of Zero Hour. weren't there because it was a weekly comic and stuff. And it's like, by this point, I'd already made a habit of going to essentially a backup comic book store. So I go into that backup store thinking, you know, if I spend either $100 or get more than 50 comics, and this is back when comics were around, I think, $1.50 or something, I'm switching stores. I exceeded both of those criterias just on what was missed out of a 3 week pull from the store I'd been a regular customer at.
I mean, to be fair, all we're trying to say to you, Tim, is you keep apologizing or being the apologist for the local comic store. What we're trying to say is no one's perfect. I'm willing to agree with you on that. But you have to understand that there are rationales for why people with certain buying habits are going to make decisions. And, you know, in the mythical land where, you know, if I were to live in Chicago or Boston, where I guess I don't, and had access to these wonderful, magical places that you seem to have had access to, I'd probably still be shopping at a local comic shop. But sadly, I don't have access to these places. And even when I switched, if I can get back to my story of how I switched from local comic shops to DCBS, okay, I've always gotten a discount from my local comic shop. I mean, I've always, relative to the price of new comics, I've always got a decently large number of comics. I get a lot more now than I did when I was in my 20s, but I have more disposable income now. But I've always gotten a decent number of books. I've always been very reliable about picking my stuff up, and I've always been rewarded for that with some kind of a discount from the shop. And I can forgive the occasional pick error. I don't want to get wrapped around an axle about pick errors and stuff. Okay, but when it came right down to it, I was getting a pretty decent discount on new comics. I got about 25% off on new comics. But the shop I was going to, they only gave about 10% off on trade paperbacks and hardcovers. Well, I got all the Marvel Masterworks and, you know, DC Archives and things like this. These are pretty pricey items. Okay, they're like $50 things, you know. So I'm paying $45 for these books from the local shop, or online, I can get these books for 25, 30% off. You know, just a couple of hardcovers that I buy each month, the extra discount is going to pay for the shipping charge that I have to pay at the online service. Or I could even go to Amazon. And, you know, frankly, I mean, I'm still supporting that comic shop. I'm still at this point spending, even taking those hardcovers out of the mix, like $300, $350 a month at the comic shop. You know, when I asked you, Tim, what's it worth to you to get, you know, that thing? And you said, oh, $3,000 a year. You know, it's like, well, you just
Actually, say that, okay? No. You asked me, is it worth, say, $3,000? I never gave that number.
Yeah.
And I just said,
well, I said that because that's how much I'm saving. That's how much I'm saving over going to a local comic shop.
Here's the other thing. And it's, you buy far more than I do, and there's no comparison in that.
That's why I threw out that number, Tim, because, you know, if it was a matter of $20, I can guarantee you I'd be going and buying my books at the local comic shop.
Yeah,
you know,
same here.
The camaraderie, all this stuff that you mentioned, you know, if it's $20, if it's even $30, but it is hundreds of dollars a month for me, different. And I'll point out that, okay, so I made the switch. And when I made the switch that I went to DCBS, I pretty much just got the hardcovers and trade paperbacks, which were highly much more discounted there. And then I would get, you know, every now and again, they'd have a doorbuster special on some miniseries. So I'd try out the first issue of a miniseries or something from them. You know, and even at that, I was saving a pretty decent amount of money, but I was still spending hundreds of dollars with my local shop. And then ultimately, the owner of my local shop up and moved to Memphis, Tennessee. And the new guys who are running it, I mean, they're just not, it's not the same. You know what I mean? When the owners change?
Oh, sure. Absolutely not.
So, and along the way, you know, in between, I had an interim step there. Is it was getting so bad with me getting missed items on the indie books because the shop was skewing towards people who mostly bought Marvel and DC. So frequently I'm like the only one ordering a copy of some indie book. And when something goes wrong or somebody buys it, well, I don't get that book. And it's like, okay, well, it's a reorder and that's a crapshoot. And I'm trying to find it as a back issue somewhere. So my interim step was I first went to getting all my trades and hardcovers from DCBS. Then I switched and I started getting 95% of all my indie books from DCBS. And I still got all my Marvels and DCs from the local shop. In 2.5 years of going to DCBS, they have made one pick error. One. And that's out of me getting hundreds of books a month, you know, for the most part. And it's just night and day. I don't know what they do to, like, do that, but they're very accurate. But it was just so much of a nuisance with the shop of not getting the book. And not only that, but sometimes it's just I'd be just like a vagabond going all around to different shops trying to find that one book. And then, you know, again, when the guy left, you know, it's just, okay, I'm just going to cut over and I'm going to get everything. However, even that being said, I still go and I buy like $50 to $100 a month worth of comic books from this one local shop called the Comics, Toons, and Toys up in Tustin, California. They're great. They're a great shop. But again, they're about 25 miles from my house. So with the price of gas, you know, I don't go up there that often. But you know what? I spend more at that local comic shop in a month on like extra stuff and back issues and this, that, and the other thing than a lot of people spend, period, on comics. So I still do support the local shops, but I just can't justify in my own mind paying, you know, thousands upon thousands of dollars extra in a year, not getting the discounts and stuff that I can get online.
Well, that is one thing that needs to be taken into consideration that I absolutely understand is I don't know what you buy, Bill, but I know John and Bob, you guys have to admit you're far, far above what the average consumer buys. I mean, not even
I don't know what the average consumer buys, so I would assume I am. But seriously, I don't know.
All right, Mr. Legalese.
I suspect that you're correct, though. I mean, we're certainly in the top 5% of comic consumers.
I'd like to consider myself the average consumer, so
me as well. And I have to point out that, Bob, your basement there proves that you're not an average buyer.
I've been buying them for 35 years, Brent. So,
yeah,
give me that at least. You know,
we certainly give you that, buddy. We certainly give you that. But
I've been buying comics for
the fact that we're all jealous of that basement proves you're not the average buyer. How's that?
Oh yeah, yeah. And plus that, and you get stuff in your shipment like you said that isn't just comics. Like you get the statues and you get that sort of stuff. While I live in a cubbyhole.
Ian, I saw for some reason I stumbled upon the video.
Yeah.
Poor Ian.
Yeah.
Poor Cinderella.
Thank you.
I feel so confused.
Did you see the follow-up video to that one that I posted?
No, I didn't.
Where he shows off how much bigger his dorm room is than my small-ass little room here, and I hate him for it. But
I can see that.
Just going back to that, though, that even with just the amount of comics that I get on a regular basis, I usually spend maybe anywhere between $70 to $90 a month via DCBS or via whatever online service I'm using. This past month, I went with Heroes Corner, and I saved, I think, $15 to $18 over what DCBS was getting. But not even that. Their final tally, without discounts at a local shop, it would have cost me $100 more had I have gone to a local comic shop and bought everything I bought online. So as a former student who's still working a temp job and only making about $1,300 a month, I can't really afford to spend any more than the bare minimum on things. Comic books are my, like, cigarettes or my alcohol and that or that sort of thing. I don't spend money on that sort of things, so my addiction is comics. And I spend the least on my addiction online, and I'm happy that way.
I think that says a lot. Like you and I are in college and we're on a limited budget and stuff like that. So for an online service to give us a $35 to $40 discount on stuff that we're going to buy regularly, like to me, $50 to $60 a month, which is what I save, is a lot of money because I can go out and take my girlfriend out an extra weekend instead of us staying home or something like that. So that's more time that I get to spend with her that makes her happy, makes me happy. you know, more than just renting a movie and stuff. So that's big for me. That's where my extra money goes.
Yeah. That's what you tell her, don't you?
Well, getting it,
that's what you tell her from the whole thing.
So let's switch now to comparing online services. I mean, we've been comparing to local comic shops for the last hour or so.
Right.
You know, I did the same thing. So I've been with DCBS. I'm happy with DCBS. But, you know, all this talk about Heroes Corner, I said, you know, and John and I, you know, it's like, hey, let's check them out. Yep. So went to their site, got their spreadsheet. And I put my order, my DCBS order that I had already filled out their spreadsheet, I put it into Heroes Corner. Now, there's some caveats here. Okay. First off, Heroes Corner does not have weekly shipping, mm-hmm. which is not something that they provide.
Right.
So I let it just be monthly shipping because it was free monthly shipping at Heroes Corner and it's like $5.95 for monthly shipping at DCBS. So, okay, apples to apples. Heroes Corner. Free bags and boards. I don't get bags and boards from DCBS, but just to make them equal, I added bags and boards into my DCBS order so that they'd be – so I'd be getting a monthly shipment from one, a monthly shipment from the other, bags and boards on both. Another thing I had to do, Heroes Corner does not have as complete a list of items as Heroes – as DCBS does. For instance – they don't offer the DC Direct action figures. Mm-hmm. So the Batgirl and Supergirl figures I was getting from the Alex Ross Justice line, I couldn't order those from Heroes Corner. So to make it an apples-to-apples comparison, I took them off my DCBS spreadsheet also. Now, that being said, they're $12.50 at DCBS. If I was just with Heroes Corner, I'd have to go out to a local shop and buy those. Local shops charge $17 plus tax for those, so that's going to cost me $10 extra just to buy those two action figures at the shop.
Plus gas.
Plus gas. Well, whatever. I go to the shops anyway, so I won't count that.
Bob, you really do have to move to Boston. Even though I don't buy them, they sell for like $14 here.
So, yeah, California, what can I say? I've now got apples to apples, okay? And I look at my spreadsheet. And the price after discount, $873.61 from DCBS, $891.76 from Heroes Corner. Now, that being said, there's some interesting things there, you know, and it has to do with the profile of what you buy. So, you know, Heroes Corner, they did not have as good a discounts on the Randy Bowen busts that I buy. So that's going to skew things in their direction. They were about the same on the Marvel and DC. Heroes Corner, by and large, seemed to have better discounts on the indie stuff.
Right.
So if you buy a lot of indie comic books, Heroes Corner seemed to be better. But, you know, that being said, so I looked at all these things and I said, well, you know, well, first off, it doesn't save me money to go to Heroes Corner. And the best I can get from Heroes Corner is – biweekly shipping. I personally really would not want to go biweekly. I get so many books. I look forward to getting that box each week. And the problem with biweekly is really bi-monthly shipping. So you get one like every 2 weeks usually, but some months, you know, it's like you get 2 weeks and then there's a 3 week gap, you know, on months that have five weeks in them. So that's not something that I want to do. And then the other thing is, and this I'm not sure because Heroes Corner is such a new company. I had an issue that, you know, especially for you guys who are like popping back and forth Heroes Corner and then 1 month somewhere else when they're giving you a little better discount and guys giving me an extra 10% to buy my business for the first month. And the issue that I have is, especially if you order indie books, how many books in a given month do you get that don't ship on time?
Right.
And not even just indie books, but like Marvel and DC too. So if I just bought books from Heroes Corner, if I ordered just this month from Heroes Corner, when are they going to ship that to me? And they're giving me free shipping. I suspect, reading their literature, that stuff that's more than a certain amount late, and it all comes out in the wash if you're a regular customer with somebody, right? If you're a regular customer with somebody, they just throw it in your shipment next month. No big deal. But if you're popping around like a nomad and going from company to company, how are they going to ship those books to you? And what I suspect they're going to do is actually just credit you for the books if they're very late. And then you're going to be chasing around trying to find them, God only knows where. These are all things that I weighed and considered in making the decision. At the end of the day, you know, I look at, you know, DCBS, they got a long track record with me. You know, they haven't made any pick errors. They're very reliable. They have the weekly shipping, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to stay with DCBS. Now, that being said, a year from now, if they can survive on this business model, which I've talked to Cameron at DCBS, and he gives good discounts on things, but the reason that he gives less discount on indie books is because he gets less discount from Diamond on indie books. And I am a little curious on how the Heroes Corner business model's running, that they can afford to give 40% off on those books, because they've got to be running on a really tight margin on those things.
Yeah, yeah. And I have the Starman Omnibus in my pick for this month, and I'm actually looking at the email that was sent to me from Heroes Corner customer service after I purchased it. And this is pretty much what they're saying on this here. Because you chose once-a-month shipping, you may expect one package to be shipped at the end of March and another package shipped in May when the Starman Omnibus is released for date. They don't say anything about it being, you know, any additional charge for that, so I assume that is also going to be free shipping. But like you said, Bob, I don't know how that would be if any of the books that are in this shipment that's supposed to be coming in March do end up getting delayed until April, May, June, or so on, whether or not they are just going to credit me or whether or not they're going to do those in a separate shipment, or hell, maybe they'll just wait until May and send those to me with the Starman Omnibus. I don't know.
I suspect that's what they would tend to do if you didn't make any other orders from them except this order. Mm-hmm. I suspect since you have the Starman Omnibus, they'd probably just batch the other things up and send them to you along with that one because,
right. You
know, frankly, they would go out of business pretty darn quick if, you know, they gave free shipping and they ended up taking this one monthly order and shipped you like six or seven different packages off of it as these books dribbled in.
Yeah.
I think that their business model, like anybody's business model, is going to operate on having regular customers mm-hmm. who – you know, this is just going to become a standard course of business, and they're shipping you like one box a month, and just whatever comes out gets tossed into that box.
Right, right. John, actually, I know that you did a comparison of a bunch of different places, so you want to give us that?
Sure. I had started by just doing a DCBS versus Hero Corners, like Bob had talked about, but I've since expanded it to have Heroes Corner, DCBS, a subscription service for my comic shop. I think Necosphere was one of the other ones, and Westfield. What I did was lowest common denominator order. Anything that any one of those five didn't have on their order form, I took out. Now, the total cover price for what I was looking at, which was 160 items, came up to $651.44. Now, just for a quick comparison, if I was getting that here locally, add in another $53.74 for sales tax, which is one of the other downsides I was hitting here in Texas. Mm-hmm. I don't recall if I had that in California or not.
Yeah. In California, they do charge sales tax on new comics.
Right. Which,
what about in Boston, Tim?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Do they charge sales tax on comics there?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. But in New York, they don't actually charge sales tax on comics, so I get them straight.
Sales tax on liquor, but yet they tax me on my comics.
Yeah,
go figure.
So that I pay an extra 7.75% sales tax on, so that's over and above anything else.
Yeah, and you know what, actually, Bill, just so we can get you in on this, do you get sales tax at your local comic shop?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to get that. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Me too.
So again, for me, it'd be over $50 a month. Or for the, just my January items in sales tax alone. Heroes Corner wound up being the cheapest in terms of both the actual cost of the comics and kind of total out of pocket. It came in at $383.34 for both the cost of the comics and the total, because at that point they had free shipping. Now, DCBS came in 10 cents behind them on the total cost of the comics. Now, mind you, I had to take out two trades that were backlist items that DCBS had cheaper because one of these other stores, I think maybe Necosphere or Westfield, didn't have it on the list. Mm-hmm. I had to take out previews, which DCBS had cheaper than Heroes Corner, and I think one or two other things. And when Bob and I had first been talking about this, DCBS actually wound up being cheaper on the base price of the comics by about maybe $2-3. So not that much. But, you know, monthly shipping for DCBS, $5.95. So total out of pocket difference is, let's see, $5.02, I believe. Because there was also a bonus credit for the comic block code word or coupon or whatever for DCBS. Mm-hmm. Now, both of those are significantly cheaper than that $651.44. My comic shop, which has a subscription service, prices are not so great. I mean, they're not horrible, don't get me wrong. But it wound up with a total of $463.94, both for the comics and out of pocket. I didn't see any shipping or any other kind of bonus credit discount thing you'd get, but I'll admit to not having looked very closely. I was a little pressed on time. Mm-hmm. Necosphere was one of the other ones that had an Excel order form, which I kind of prefer. And they had very minimal discounts, more around the 25% mark. And the total for the comics came in at $489.83. I didn't see anything again on shipping or bonus credit type thing there. Westfield, which has their own little downloadable application and whatnot, which I found just painful to use almost, had minimal discounts. It was kind of weird because the cost of the comics came in at $556, but you get a credit based on the order of $77.97. And adding in the $15 shipping, the total cost there was $493.93. Now, what that means is the effective discounts across the board compared to cover price. Heroes Corner had a 41.15% discount. DCBS had a 40.38% discount, so within a percent there. My Comic Shop had a 28.78% discount. Necosphere had a 24.81%. And Westfield had a 24.18%. I mean, just between some of these places, you can see a huge difference in how much you might save. And also, in a couple of cases, there were some pretty drastic swings in what the lowest cost was and what the highest cost was. And sometimes even between Heroes Corner and DCBS. And a lot of that came down to just who was doing a more aggressive doorbuster special on a particular item. And like Bob was saying, it depends. If you're heavy on the indies, Hero Corner seems advantageous on that. If you're heavy on the Marvel, DC, and the mainstream, kind of DCBS seems to be a good choice there.
Yeah. And see, I think most of my savings actually came on the indies in the end with Heroes Corner because I usually only get maybe 7 or 8 indies, but they were all, I think, about, what was it, about maybe 10% less or 20% less, something along those lines, at Heroes Corner. So I think that might have been what pushed it over.
Right. Well, for me, I get 2 dozen indies thereabouts, a little over 2 dozen, about 27, 28. But for me, essentially a $5 savings, you know, I think with my total order with the other stuff factored in or whatever, like the previews and stuff like that, it might have been as much as $20 difference, not having the weekly shipment. And, you know, it just it wasn't enough for me to jump ship. I'm very happy with DCBS. Been using them for 4 years and have had excellent service. Mm-hmm. And price is good. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to pay cheaper price. I'd love if DCBS did free bags and boards, whatever. But I'm getting a good deal. No any kind of inherent complaints. I don't feel I'm getting ripped off or anything.
Yeah, basically, we did that extra thing, John, where I kind of like looked at it as splitting my order, right? And I went and I said, okay, if I take the things from Heroes Corner that were cheaper than the same item at DCBS. And we pulled it together there and tried to get a $75 level so that we'd get the free shipping from Heroes Corner.
You wound up with $150 worth of items for $25.
Right. And I ended up saving a decent amount. However, you know, the dark side to that would be because, you know, these are like a wide range of just weird, you know, this indie thing here and this indie thing there. And it's like, I didn't want to see any of these books until June or something, you know, when they all managed to come in. If Heroes Corner, if I start hearing that they're tremendously reliable and, you know, they can somehow manage to stay in business given like really good, much better discounts on the indies, you know, it'd be something to consider, you know, splitting the order.
Right.
So, right. Exactly.
Yes.
I personally could never move away from DCBS because some of the things that I enjoy collecting, notably the statues and the toys, are either not available or much less of a discount from Heroes Corner.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say, Bob, obviously I know nothing about online, but your last statement when it came to you splitting orders, as I heard everyone, it sounds like with the amount that you and John buy, it may not have as much of a discount considering, you know, when you listen to all the numbers and all the comparisons. But the one thing that was going through my mind is just if you end up buying specific things from one and specific things from another and shipping playing into it, you know, what's the best buy for you? And I'm glad you said that last part because I was thinking about that. Like, what if you kind of cut your order in half? And
the main thing that would prevent me from doing that is the lack of weekly shipping. Now, that being said, I mean, I sent an email to Heroes Corner and they said, well, we don't really do weekly shipping. We're not set up for that, but we'd be willing to entertain, you know, tell us where you live and we'll figure out how much we'd have to charge you. So I'm like thinking it's, you know, if I'm getting some like custom charge for weekly shipping through FedEx, it's probably not going to be.
Is that how they ship?
I'll probably pursue. Yeah, they ship FedEx.
Yeah.
Which FedEx delivers on Saturday as well, right?
Yes, and that is an advantage. You know, it comes down to I could probably split my order, keep a just above $75 one every month to get that free shipping and just target the stuff that was cheaper there. But I'm too lazy for that.
Yeah. Bill, are you usually a monthly shipper or do you do the biweekly?
No, I do monthly. So the whole concept of weekly shipping or anything like that doesn't come into play for me. What I did is I just took the spreadsheet entered it into the Heroes Corner spreadsheet, and they had everything I was ordering anyway. And before we get to the first-time buyers additional 10% off, they were already saving me something like $12.95, maybe a little bit more than that. And then you throw that extra 10% on top of it, and it's the equivalent of me getting the Starman Omnibus hardcover for free and a couple of singles thrown in as well. So it's a compelling reason for me to think about at least making that order, because I've been in cutback mode for about 6 months now. I had been ordering 70 items a month, and now I'm probably between 30 and 40, and always looking to try and save a little bit of money at this point with the way the economy is going and everything. In a month where I've got a Starman Omnibus and another volume of the Absolute Sandman in the same order, that additional savings would really come in handy. Now, having said that, I'm probably only looking at Heroes Corner for a one-month order at this point. I am not at all unhappy with any of the service I've gotten from DCBS. I'm thrilled with the service, and I do feel like I owe them some loyalty, but at the same time, the reason I go mail order in the first place is in an attempt to save money.
Right, but the thing you have to consider, Bill, you know, you're saving $20 or something or whatever it is, or $30. But if you're not doing it, what is going to happen with those items that do not ship on time to get into that monthly box? Are they just going to credit you on them to get a local comic shop paying full price for those items plus sales tax? And how much is that going to erode into your $30 savings?
It's rolling the dice. It absolutely is. Even going with an unknown quantity like Heroes Corner in the first place is rolling the dice to a certain degree. But, you know, that was the case with going with DCBS in the first place.
But there was I just wouldn't be willing to do it. I'm going to dive in and say I'm going to do it every month because I think that the chance of just getting credited on stuff that ships late.
You know, I've used the credit up just in the price of these catalogs you send me every month.
That's funny. Now, if I factor in an additional 10% off on the comics for first-time deal at Heroes Corner, that would save me another $38.33.
for a total out of pocket of $345.01, which is a 47% savings, and that is less than half what I would be paying here locally at full price at a local store.
Now, let me ask you this, being not familiar with all the different companies. So you've got Heroes Corner, you've got DCBS. Who else gives a discount that's close? You say Westfield is probably number three?
No, Westfield's number five. My Comic Shop was number three. Necosphere was four. And these were ones I just kind of picked at random.
Yeah.
Necosphere because it had an Excel file. Westfield because it was one I'd heard about and I was curious what their little app would do. Which, again, painful. I should get rid of that.
The reason why I bring this up is, and this isn't me speaking as an LCS fan. I'm just talking pure business. Okay, so you've got, you know, DCBS that gives, you know, 40% off certain things, 35% off others. You've got Heroes Corner that's competing, going around the same ballpark. Their whole, you know, point is to train their buyers to look for that cheap price. That's what it's all about, is look, we can give it to you at the cheapest price. Their profit margins are so slim. They're cutting down so hard on it. How deep can they cut before they just implode? Does that make sense?
Well, it depends how much they're selling, because as they get a higher volume of customers, they get into a higher discount bracket at Diamond, and mm-hmm. their costs go down.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The highest discount you can get is 53%, correct?
That's incorrect. You can get up to 59.5% for your DC items at the highest level.
Oh, wow. Okay, didn't know that.
So, I mean, there are cases where, I mean, the margin they're on may not be as slim as it looks. I'm not saying it's major, because it's not. But, I mean, to a certain degree, it goes back to Bill's earlier point of, I don't care. You know, no way on earth I would pay twice what I'm paying on my comics, even if I could afford it, you know?
No, I'm just looking at it as, because one thing that is well documented, at the end of the speculation era, you know, of the 90s, when people were just getting in just for stupid reasons, but if they had some form of business sense, there was a lot of comic shops say, I'm going to undercut the guy that's down the street by giving you this discount, and then it just got to the point that it was too much of a discount for a brick and mortar. Mind you, I'm just talking, you know, 20% versus 30% going against one another. You know, so it just you need to make X amount to stay in business. So that's why I was wondering how far can it be cut deep while all these guys are going against each other before they just hurt themselves.
Tim,
I don't know. I agree, a discount war could be very bad, and I'd be happy to compare other places. It's just some of them you've got to do it through a website. I would have had Mile High's nice stuff, but you've got to sign up for an account first before you can get through it, and it's like, you know. It was more trouble than it was worth for me at this point.
Yeah, no, Comics Now is another one that I tried once, actually right after, I think it was YouBuyNow.com stopped doing the singles. They were pretty good from the looks of things, but they didn't seem to be nearly as on time as I liked with my shipping, so that's why I didn't actually do it. But they do have discounts, which are usually in the 20 to 30% range on most of their books.
And when I first started looking at mail order companies, the second place finisher, so to speak, to DCBS at the time was M&M Comics. And the reason I went with DCBS over M&M is DCBS had a better web interface, more covers of the things that were for sale, and they seemed to update their website far faster than M&M. At that point, I think M&M even had an application that you had to download and install and all this nonsense in order to place an order too. So those were compelling reasons for me to pick DCBS in the first place.
So, okay. Well, no,
I agree with you, though. I mean, I think that this is something, Tim, that is a concern to me, and that's one of the reasons why I was leery about switching to Heroes Corner, because, you know, for the long term, and again, you know, I worry about, you know, just the hassle and stability and things like that. And it's just looking at the 40% discount they're giving on most of those indie books. How are they going to be able to maintain that discount level, you know, given that they're not getting 58% off, you know, like on the DC things, you know, at high volume, like, you know, somebody can. Because the indie stuff, you get less discount. And if enough people buy from them and mostly get indies because they have better discounts on the indies, that's going to be a recipe for disaster for them.
Well, the other thing that could hurt them is if they're too successful and get too many customers coming at once, because they're going to need more people to pull the books, higher overhead. If they don't manage their growth carefully, success could lead to failure.
And success, obviously, with all the free shipping that they're offering, the more customers you get, the more shipping you're going to have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Around how many more comics do you guys buy online than you did when you were in the shop? Because obviously with these discounts, I'm sure you guys are buying things that you wouldn't necessarily buy in the shop because you're buying them online for cheaper.
That's a great
point. I'm going to answer that with a question, and have I ever struck you as a discriminating comic book?
Certainly not, John. Certainly not.
Well, I'll start there since I'm the one who's on the most limited budget. I'd say there's probably about 6 to 7 titles out of my monthly 30 or 35 or so, I guess, that I would not be buying if I was in the comic shop. And I'll just lift them off the top of my head. Booster Gold, I'd probably be waiting on. The Order, I would not be getting. Thor, I would not be getting. Avengers Initiative. There are a couple others, but you know, those are the ones. Those are really good books, but they're just not stuff that I don't think I have to be buying anymore. So for me, that's okay, and that's not really like the $60 I'm saving that would, you know, make up for it. I could buy a whole lot more with the money I'm saving just for my budget, but that would be comics that I'm not particularly interested in reading. Like, my order now is strictly what I want to read, and I'm really happy with where I'm at.
See, and that's one thing I will tip my hat to all the onlines, because they have the Walmart/Costco thing down pat. You can't get out of Costco without spending $200, because you're like, hey, look, $10 for all this, all these pretzels. There's not pretzels for us for 6 months. That's only $10. Throw it in. You know, whatever else. You just keep going through the aisles, and suddenly you're like, oh, I just spent $200 on
stuff. I kind of disagree with that. I found that one of the reasons I kind of saved some money when I switched to online was my impulse buying dropped substantially.
Really?
Yeah, I would go with that as myself as well. For me, it's kind of the opposite thing. You have to order what you know you want, if that makes any sense. There are things that most of what I order, I don't even read the I don't read previews or anything like that. I know I want to read The Avengers every month. I don't read anything about the issue that's coming out 2 months from now. It's on my order. Bang. If I have a question or something, that's the thing that I go to the local comic book store for. I don't order something that I have any question about at all. Like things like the Black Adam miniseries. That's a questionable book for me. I might get the first issue from DCBS if it's a 74-cent issue or one of their specials like that. But I'm not ordering 2, 3, and 4 from them. I'm going to the local comic shop. That's happened to me. I wish I'd actually ordered like issues 2, 3, and 4 of the Green Arrow Black Canary series. I did not, because I did not know what the quality of that book was going to be.
Now, you can add those to your order after you've read the first thing. Just email Cameron.
That's actually what I do, Bill. My try it before I buy it, you know, like, well, before I commit to a series, is I will very frequently order just the first issue of a lengthy miniseries or a new series, and I do not pre-order through DCBS any of the subsequent issues. When I get that issue, read it. If I decide that I like it, I send an email to them and say, please add these extra ones to my current order, and they happily do. Mm-hmm.
Well, there are a couple of reasons why I don't do that. Reason number one is that it would screw up with my whole process of keeping track of my orders a little bit. But also, I actually enjoy that as an excuse to actually go out and visit comic shops once in a while. So it's just all a part of my own little routine, my own little comic ritual.
Yeah. If I ever miss an issue of one of the series that I'm collecting, and again, this usually happens because I do actually order directly from the website. I don't use the Excel sheet. And again, this is just my personal preference here. I just find it easier to go by a website. But if that does happen, then I'll just, you know, I'll buy it that month in the store. No big deal. But with the 75 cents that a lot of these first issues get, and even with the discounts that certain new arcs get on these online websites, that will probably get me to buy more first issues and beginning arcs than I would ever buy in the real world at a regular local comic shop, because that just makes more sense to me.
Let me ask this. So basically, as an analogy, an LCS to most of you guys is nothing more than the girl you won't marry, but you'll go back and fuck whenever you're horny. You sons of bitches.
No, I think you're looking at it. I think you're looking at it from the wrong direction. What the online service is just another way to subscribe to books. It's no different. I mean, it's the equivalent of you saying I would be bad for subscribing to books from Marvel or DC directly. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. And I'm taking it completely serious, Jane, you ignorant slut.
This is a serious show, damn it.
But you know,
the code word for this episode, garbanzo beans.
Oh God, don't start that again.
Just lucky 5 emails I get a free pass to the forum.
Right. But no, Tim, actually, I mean, it's funny that you do put it that way, though, but my weekly, like, habits have not really changed that much because I still go to the shop every single Wednesday or Thursday if it's a Thursday, so on and so forth, just whatever. Whenever the books are coming out, I'm there after work on the day that they're coming out just to pick up what I am not picking up at online. And it's not even the way that you're putting it, though. It's that there are certain books I just love getting the minute they come out. And those are the ones I save. I put them off to the side. I'm like, I don't care if they're discounted online. I'm buying these in the shop, and it's just the way it is. That combined with the fact that at Midtown Comics, I know that once I hit $100, I'm getting 20 on the store, which helps out because I am still saving, usually depending on the month, anywhere between $20 to $40 out of my pocket, which is a good thing to get because I know I'm going to spend at least $100 at a shop, usually within a 4 to 6 week period.
Now, let me ask you this. This is completely big picture, hypothetical BS question. Mm-hmm. And I stress the BS. The comic, not you, not yourself as a buyer. Okay. Just think of the comic industry as a whole. Take your buying habits out of the picture if you can. So please keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. If online shops put LCSs out of business, and I'm not saying they supported LCS, where would you see the future of comics going? And in return, if online shops for some reason went away and only LCS is supported, where would you see the whole business of comics going?
In both cases, I see it going to bookstores. And I mean like Barnes & Noble, Amazon-type bookstores. And in either case,
you
go to a trade-based model. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's an either-or.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, because what you're not taking into the equation is there's no difference between an online store and a local comic book store. They're both a direct market. The direct market isn't going anywhere. For this to really be an argument, you have to throw in what happens if they're not in 7-Elevens and Borders and all the places where they're not really where they're at the level they should be anyway. The direct market is what's strangling everything, not an online versus local comic book shop.
Well, I don't even think it's a question of the direct market. I think it's a question of the marketing of comics being directed at the existing fans.
Exactly. My point is that if there is one or the other, whether it's a local comic shop or an online comic shop, comic book fans will go wherever they are. They're already hooked to the product. So,
in that case, you've got to argue the case for the local store because people are more likely to kind of stumble across that and find it and get exposed to it. Flip side, you could argue that the online store has the better prices and therefore would keep people around the longest.
I don't think anybody stumbles across it. I think they go looking for it.
People stumble across the comic book store.
It's certainly a destination. I think it's – well, it
– website's a destination. I mean,
how many new readers do we really get in how do they get there? It's such a hypothetical question.
Well, here's the thing is like your brick-and-mortar store is not going to totally go out of business any more than, Borders or Barnes & Noble is not going to go out of business because Amazon exists. Why does Borders exist? Borders exists because, A, there are people who don't want to wait for a week or more to get their thing in the mail. They don't want to maybe pay – they don't want to buy the X amount to get free shipping. There's a whole host of reasons, or they just don't have a computer and can't figure out how to do it or something. But there's large amount of it is immediate gratification. You just want something now. You don't want it a week from now. It's the same thing with comics.
There's one flaw to your analogy. No, I understand what you're saying, Bob. But Amazon gets most of their books. That is Borders' online store. They've struck a deal. That's where they –
Yeah, well, it's fine. Well, but my point, my point is that they have brick and mortar stores. They have online stores. They both exist. They both serve a different segment of the market.
I'm still a firm believer, though, that, and this is something that I said back when we did the, what are they going to be 20 years from now? I'm a firm believer that if by some miracle within the next, 5 or 10 years, there are no longer local comic book shops to actually physically go into, and the only way to get your books is to either go to the bookstore or go online, that there will no longer be single issues. It'll all be trades. Because
I agree with you there.
That's the only way that comic books will ever just end up in bookstores. Because I can certainly never really imagine a crowd of people around that spinner rack or a special section devoted to single issues at a Borders or something like that. It's just not going to happen.
I remember just reading an article about Borders this year after the whole Christmas season that they basically broke even. I have to get this straight. My facts are going to be wrong. They broke even with what their estimates were for sales, but in the long run, they're losing profits because all those sales came from deep discount coupons that were sent to members via online, 30%, 40% off, 20% off, blah, blah, blah. So they didn't make nearly – they made their costs and everything. I'm screwing up the statement. I'm going to have to find it.
Well, that's probably true because I know that the only thing I bought at Borders – around Christmas, we're using the 30% off coupons.
I promise I'll find that article and I'll post it to follow up so I don't sound like such a knucklehead, even though I'm on my third mojito.
If you want to go with what we were talking about with Heroes Corner, they might suffer the same sort of thing where, this 10% discount was wonderful for the first time that I got it, and the free shipping is wonderful, the fact that I can get that. But the 10% was a one-time deal. So what is my order going to turn out to be the next time that I go? Is it going to be the same? We don't know yet. I'll have to see what the next week, what the next month order turns out to be and whether or not I'm saving anywhere near as much when that comes out.
So my question to Bill and Ian is, now that you've already done the 1 month, next month are both of you going to compare and contrast DCBS versus Heroes Corner before making your buy? And if Heroes Corner is maybe just such a slight percentage more, are you going to stick with them because of the points that Bob made to kind of, if something doesn't ship on time and yada, yada, yada? What are your game plans?
Well, Bill, you want to cover this first?
Yeah, I think my game plan right now is to stick with DCBS. I think if it weren't for the additional 10% off for your first order, I wouldn't even be placing this first order with Heroes Corner, just because DCBS has been so good for the past 5 years. They're a trusted source. They're very reliable. All the things that have been said about them are true. They've got a good track record, and Heroes Corner is an unknown quantity. But having said that, you got to give people a chance to earn your business. They're definitely trying to earn my business, and I think I will do comparative orders between the two spreadsheets, but they'll just have to really – it'll have to be more than, say, 10, 15 bucks a month to get me to place my order there.
Right.
And I did the same thing with DCBS. I mean, I dipped my toe in the water and made very small orders for the first 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Well, I did the same thing.
What I've been offered from Heroes Corner so far has been customer service, and that has certainly been one of the reasons why I'm happy that I'm with them. The example I'm going to give here, and it's one that I brought up on the forums as well, is when I went through with my final order, the last thing I put in was the Starman Omnibus, and I put that in after I already put in the 10% coupon they offered me. So it came out to, I believe it was $90, and I didn't get the full 10%. So as opposed to them saying, haha, sucker, and not bothering to tell me, which, this is something that not every place is going to do. I have to ask you,
what's the emoticon for a haha, sucker?
I believe that's the laughing hysterically one that's on the forums. But as opposed to just saying, not saying anything and just giving me whatever 8% or 9% or whatever the hell it was, I got an email immediately afterwards from their customer service guy telling me that we saw you were a little overzealous and put it in a little early, but don't worry about it. We gave you the full 10%, so your order is $88 instead of $90, and we thank you for your service and all that. And that helps. That certainly helps.
If there's anything you can say bad about DCBS, it is their communication. I mean, you can send them an email and not hear from them for a week at a time, whereas right. these guys, every email I've sent them, I've gotten an answer the same day.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And so far, so good with that. And, I mean, Brent can attest to that, how he had the problems with getting stuff to the right place at the right time with DCBS. But that's not really communication. That's just somebody you're not doing or forgetting, I guess it was. But, you know, that's life, I guess. That'll happen. Bill, I know you want to head off. So you want to just make some final comments before you go, Sleepyhead?
My final comment is I want to seal your audience. All you bitches, listen to Just Bill's Comic Drawer Box. Tomorrow night I'll be recording episode 57. I'll be talking about Planetary, X-Men all the way through Messiah Complex. I'll be talking about Excalibur Volume 1 and maybe the Shoot 'em Up movie and Stardust. So there you go. I'm out.
Awesome. And and I will see you at Baltimore this year.
Sweet. See you guys.
All right, take care.
Bye, Bill. Sweet dreams.
Okay, so at this point in the recording, Bill leaves to get some shut-eye, so I figured that this is probably the best part for me to actually split this episode up into two. So this is about an hour and a half here, and the next episode is going to be about maybe hour 45, 2 hours, something like that. We really go in-depth on the whole online ordering thing. And as you could tell from this episode, there was a little bit of discussion on local comics here. And again, even if things were heated at times, just want to remind you guys that we're all friends here. We're just having a nice argument, and nice friendly argument at that. No cheap shots were taken, no harm was done, and no black eyes at the end of the recording, I promise. But anyway, before we go, here is a quick promo from the Comics Cast.
Comics Cast episode 91 is out and ready for download. This episode features a rundown of the first 6 issues of Iron Man, starring in Tales of Suspense numbers 39 through 44. Join Stefan, John Hook, and myself as we do a rundown on the stories, the writing and art teams on the books, and we discuss how these fit into the Marvel Silver Age, as well as their role in helping to define one of the key characters in the Marvel Universe. And then, on January 25th, Lyle Tucker, Van Reed, and I return for part 2 of our rundown on Thor. This time we discuss issues 89 to 94 of Journey into Mystery. Are we finally starting to see a glimmer of the character that most of us have known as one of the top Marvel characters for over 40 years? Stop by and listen to find out. You can find these shows at comicscast.libsyn.com. That's comics and cast with a K.
You've done it again.
So there you have it. Episodes 91 and 92 of the Comics Cast are now out. And you can, of course, check that out at comicscast.libsyn.com. And as I stated the last time we played a promo for Comics Cast, Bruce is one of the nicest guys I know in podcasting. So definitely check his show out when you get a chance. So here we go. This is the end of this episode here. Make sure to tune in around the same time next week for episode 56, part 2. And there will also be the next episode of the Geeks Report probably coming out the week after that. So we've got plenty of good stuff coming up here on Comic Timing, so make sure to tune in. And a little reminder on how the RSS feed is going to work from now on. I'm going to be posting both Comic Timing and the Geekspeak Report on the Comic Timing feed. Now, similar to what Derek Coward does with the Comic Book Noise family, if you just want to listen to the Geekspeak Report, well, then you can just sign up for the Geekspeak Report feed, which is located at speakgeekspeak.com. Just sign up for the Feedburner feed from there. But the Comic Timing feed is going to be the main feed for all of the shows in, if you want to call it the Comic Timing Network, go ahead and do that. But it's right now it's 2 shows. It could possibly be a little more than that, as I told Brent that any episode of BK's Bullets he wants to put out, he can go ahead and do so. If it's, you know, not DC related and he still wants to talk about it as a solo episode, it could certainly go on this feed. And there'll be some syndicated episodes as well. I was on Amazing Spider-Cast a little while back, so I'm thinking maybe I'll ask Chris if I can put that on here. And anything else that ends up in the Comic Timing family will be on the Comic Timing feed. So again, if you just want Geekspeak Report and you don't want to hear Comic Timing, just get the RSS for Geekspeak Report or else just sit back and relax and keep where you are, and you'll get everything on this one feed. Make sense? I hope so. So once again, thanks to Bill, and thanks to John and Bob, and thanks to Tiki for joining us here, and obviously thanks to Brent. You can find Just Bill once again at justbill.comicbookpage.com for the Just Bill's Comic Drawer Box. He just came out with episode 58, and I believe there was an episode 58 part 2 as well, so make sure to check that out. And Comic Book Page, of course, can be found at comicbookpage.com/podcast, and they just released their second Super Fan Spotlight, which focused on Mario Muscar, and he was a guest on GeekSpeak, back when it was just GeekSpeak and not GeekSpeak Report. So definitely go and check that out. John and Bob do a wonderful job. And you can find the Tiki actually on Geeks Unite if you go back and listen to the episode that he was on. And plus, I'm sure you'll find him around. And obviously, Brent is, well, Brent. Whenever he puts out a BK's Bullets, you can hear him on Raging Bullets. If not, he's here on Comic Timing. So that's it for this episode. Let's wrap things up here. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at thecomicforums.com/forums, which are graciously hosted by Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And we're also members of the League of Comic Book Podcasters. Check it out over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. Please dig us on dig.com. And please, 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 please give us an iTunes review on iTunes, as the more reviews we get on iTunes, the more people find us. So if you just have any time whatsoever out of your busy schedule to give us an iTunes review, we are definitely going to be thanking you for it. Once again, for everybody, I'm Ian Levenstein, reminding everybody out there that there's always time for comics.
Kind of splitting orders as everyone... Brent?
It wasn't fucking muted, you asshole.
What the hell was that?
It's fucking up. You're about this usually. One time you fucked that up.
The all cursing episode of Comic Time.
Okay, all right.
Sorry.
As I was saying, fuckity fuckity fuck fuck.
Ask the question to both of us.
Sleep, bah!
Give me a second, I finish through it. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, you said chewing. I thought you said something else. I thought, boy, your wife really is understanding.
I have a huge smile right now.